This morning, I have on my heart to speak to you on a topic of going from self-preservation to purpose. Going from self-preservation to purpose. There was a man in the Old Testament that he was growing up, and even in his young years, God already knew him and had a call upon his life. And he fully did not even understand what that calling might be. He did not even fully grasp on the depths of the path that God is going to take him on. His name was David. Can you imagine you're just doing what you're doing every day? You're tending the sheep, you're feeding the flock, and you're just being obedient to your parents. And all of a sudden, the prophet shows up to your home, Prophet Samuel, and whoever qualified to be anointed, and they put him in front of Samuel, he says, it's none of them. There is somebody else. Somebody else maybe that man doesn't see. Somebody else that maybe people have told that you're no good for nothing. You're just good to be behind scenes. Don't even show up when people come to our home, and don't even dare to think to come when the prophet of God comes to the house. You'd be busy. But Samuel had a word, and he says, there's somebody else. And they brought David, and he says, this is it, right here. And David is being anointed to be a king. He was not old. He was very young. He was growing up to be a teenager. He was still forming. But God already had a plan for his life. And can you imagine growing up knowing that one day you'll be the king of Israel? When everyone in history, by history, Saul's son was supposed to take that position, not David. But God has called David. So he's living with this understanding that one day I will be that, but yet right now I'm struggling with that thought. To take it further than that, there came a moment in his life that he's running for his life. He's hiding from Saul. Saul wants to kill him now. And he's probably thinking, did I even need it, all of this? I probably was just fine tending the sheep. I was probably just fine to be in my parents' home, taking care of the things that I was taking care of. Now I'm finding myself running from my life, hiding in caves, hiding in places that I never thought that I would be running to hide to. But this was the story of David. But you know what's amazing? That every single time God was faithful to protect him. Every single time God was faithful to cover him supernaturally. It came a moment that even God delivered Saul in his hands when Saul was sleeping. David came and every opportunity that he had to get rid of his enemy, so-called, he had that. But David understood one thing, that I'm gonna follow God. I'm not gonna follow my instincts. I'm not gonna react in fear. I'm gonna follow God and what he has for me. And David saw supernatural protection from his Savior. Supernatural protection. Even though in the moments when he was fearful, he saw God's hand. Even in the moments when his life was being threatened, God supernaturally protected him. God brought confusion in Saul's camp. They would turn around, they would go back home because the enemy has come against them. And if it wasn't for that, David would have been captured. All of those moments you would think, David, you will learn that God has your back. You would think that David would get the picture that no matter what happens in my life, God will protect me. But it came a moment in his life that David actually cowered for a moment. The fear got a hold of him, and he began to put his guards down. He allowed compromise to be part of his life in some areas of his life. And he got so fearful that Saul was after him, and he thought, well, I can't do this anymore. And this is what I want to talk to you this morning about. And if you can open up with me, 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27. And we're just going to read these verses and talk about them. 1 Samuel chapter 27 verse 1 and down says this, "Then David said in his heart," let's stop here for a moment. It all begins in our hearts. Every situation, every circumstance, the Bible says, from your heart flows all of these things. All of our actions that we do, they're not just actions and they just happened. They're in our hearts. The fear sometimes that we face are in our heart. The disappointment, it's in our heart. The sin, it's in our heart. The lying, it's not in our lips. It's in our heart. As a result, it comes through our lips. Deceit, murder, all of those things are in our heart. The Bible says that our hearts are deceitful above all things, and who can know it? Only God knows our heart. Only God knows our heart. Because everything flows, the Bible says, from our heart. And if this heart is not regenerated, if this heart is not kept in check, things can flow out of that heart that we ourselves would be shocked of. But everything comes from our heart. And he says, David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should escape to the land of the Philistines." Now, this man that saw the miraculous power of God, this man that saw deliverance from God when he was hiding. It's not that he was hiding. Let me put it this way. God was hiding him. God was keeping him. And he's seen all of these miracles in his life. And now fear again gets a hold of him. And he says, in my heart, the heart begins to tell him, "Hey, I don't know if God can keep you any longer. You've been messing around a little bit and you've been trying to fulfill your desires." His heart is filled with fear now. And he says, well, no longer the situations that he's facing and the fear that he's facing in his life is drawing him to the Lord, but it's actually drawing him away from the Lord. And the Bible says that he came out of all people to make peace with the Philistines. And this is one of the calling that he had. He fought against Goliath. He fought against those people. God has been giving him victory. Those were the enemies of Israel. And he is called to walk with the nation of Israel. And in a moment of pain, in a moment of distress, in a moment of fear, the very thing that God has called him to be against, he's trying to make peace with to preserve his life. To preserve something that he thought is so precious that he has to keep control over it. Going from self-preservation, I want to talk to you this morning, to a purpose. Because David had a purpose, and in the moment he left that purpose. He forgot about that purpose because fear got a hold of him. And now he's going to the enemy's camp to make peace with the enemy to preserve his life. To preserve his walk. Isn't it amazing what we're willing to do in desperate moments? Even when we know that God has been faithful and he brought us through so many things, sometimes when we face fear, uncertainty, our tendency at times is, let's make peace with whatever is around me, even though we know that those things can be wrong, even though we know that those things can be sinful sometimes. But in our loneliness, in our depression, in the moments when we close ourselves in a room and all of a sudden sin knocks at the door, all of a sudden websites that you did not want to go on yesterday, but now they're right there in front of you and you're making peace with those things because they will bring you satisfaction for a moment. You're driving by a place where you had freedom from years and now all of a sudden you're in a low moment in your life. Fear is coming against you. And for you to quiet all of those things, you're trying to make peace with the bars. You're trying to make peace with a cup of wine and a cup of beer. You're trying to make peace with all of those things to quiet yourself down because you're afraid. Because you don't know where to go again. You're trying to make peace with the difficult moments in your life. You're trying to make peace with the enemy. And this was David's story. David!
God has protected you, led you. You have a call. You know your calling. Supernaturally, God has led you. And now in a moment of fear, in a moment of despair, instead of you standing firm with the nation of Israel, the very thing that God has called you to stay away from and to fight against, the Philistines, you're making peace with them. Isn't it amazing? Let's continue reading. Then Saul will despair of seeking me any longer within the borders of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand. So David arose and went over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maacah, king of Gath. And David lived in Achish at Gath, and he and his men, every man with his household, and David with his two wives, Ahimoneth the Jezreel, and Abimelech the Carmel, Nabal's wife, widow. And when it was told to Saul that David had fled to Gath, he no longer sought him. You see, the cost for us to make peace with what we are supposed to be against no longer is just David. You see, Saul was seeking David. No longer the story, it's about David. But David also took his family. Not just his family, he also took the men that were fighting for him. And not just the men, but the men took their families. My brother, my sisters, special men of the household, leaders of the household. It's amazing what the repercussion can be in our life when we make peace with the things that we are to fight against. It's amazing what we, in our decisions, as a man, I'm not talking about your family now, as a man, as the priest of your home, the decisions that you're making in life not only affect you, but will affect your marriage, it will affect your kids, and not only that, it will affect your friends that are fighting for you. David, what are you doing? The decisions you're about to make peace with the Philistines, it's not only about you now, but it's going to affect your wives, it's going to affect your children. And not only that, it's going to affect the friends that you're hanging out with, the people that are protecting you. And not only them, but also their family. Isn't it amazing that our decision, my brother, our decision that we are making today has repercussion. It has repercussion. But David, for the sake of preservation, to preserve his life because he was in fear, he forgot that God is the one that preserves life. God is the one that keeps his life in his hands. And for a moment, he thought that that gift is given to him. He forgot about every miracle that God has showed up right in time to protect him from the hand of Saul. And now he takes matters into his own hands and he says, I'm going to seek self-preservation. I'm going to seek to protect myself. And that was the beginning of his compromise. That was the beginning of him reaping what he has sown. Verse 5, then David said to Achish, if I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be given to me in one of the country's town that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you? So that day Achish gave him Ziklag. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the king of Judah to this day. And the number of the days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. A lot of details are being said here that maybe they could have skipped and said David just went and made peace with the enemy and he moved on. But no, even the days are being mentioned, how long he was living in the enemy's camp. It was for 1 year and 4 months. It was for 1 year and 4 months that he has made peace with the enemy in a moment of fear. Instead of running to the Lord, he ran to his enemy. Instead of running to the Lord to protect them and to give him courage and to give him strength, he goes and makes peace with the very thing that God has called him to fight against. And he was living in this compromise for 1 year and 4 months. How long am I living in compromise? How long are those moments when I knew that God has kept me, I had a testimony every single time what the temptation was right in front of me. God supernaturally protected me. He gave me deliverance. He gave me victory. But it came a moment because of fear, I gave in to those things again. And now it seems like they captivated my life. And some of you might be here, that you might have a story that now I have been making peace with all of these things that I don't have the strength to fight against for years or months or weeks or whatever what it is. But let me tell you, in the end of this message, I believe God is going to free you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to talk about David when he all of a sudden turned back to the Lord. And that there is hope for you, whatever what you're going through, whatever circumstances you might face, whatever situation you have made peace with, God has a call upon you. God has a call upon you. You see, God's calling on David did not change. It did not change, even when David was at his weakest points in his life. Verse 8. Now David and his men went up and made raids against the Geshurites and the Gizrites and the Amalekites, for those were the inhabitants of the land from the old, as far as Shur, to the land of Egypt. And David would strike the land and would leave neither man nor woman alive, but would take away the sheep, the oxen, the donkey, the camel, and the garments, and came back to Achish. When Achish asked, "Where have you made a raid today?" David would say, "Against the Negeb of Judah, against the Negeb of the Jerahmeites, against the Negeb of the Kenites." And David would leave neither man nor woman alive to bring news to Gath, thinking lest they should tell about us. Or in different words, thinking lest they will tell about me what I'm doing. All of these things that are going on, it's because David has decided to go there. And say, so David has done. Such was his custom all the while he lived in the country of the Philistines. And Achish trusted David, thinking he has made himself an utter strength to his people of Israel. Therefore, he shall always be my servant. You see, now David, during this time of 1 year and 4 months, he's living in deceit. He's actually going and killing all of these people, the children. He's doing all of this, in today's day, we will say war crime, and that was also back then. And he was doing all of these things, and he was killing to cover his tracks. He was doing all of those things to cover his tracks so those people would not come to the king and say, listen, David is doing this. And he was stealing their belongings. And then when the king would ask you, David, where were you? What were you doing? And he lied to the king. He began to tell him different stories that he was in different places doing different things. Isn't it amazing that in our time when we make peace with our enemy, that our life becomes about covering up? It becomes about one thing after another, one story after another. All of a sudden, we are on a suicidal journey to get rid of everybody and anybody that stands in my way that can expose, that can bring light into my darkness. Isn't it amazing what we can do when we make peace with the enemy? We live in a secret life. We live a life that outside everything looks good, but inside there is a battle, there is a war. And all of these things started because David was filled with fear. Because David no longer came to a conclusion that God can trust, that God can protect him. No longer he trusted the Lord that he can supernaturally preserve his life. But for years, this was his testimony. But now, oh God, I don't know if you're faithful to do that still. And the Bible says it all began that he thought in his heart. Everything began in this story that David thought in his heart. As a result, he says, I am going to make peace with the enemy. I'm going to go and seek refuge from the enemy. No longer he's going to his father. No longer he's going to his God that he knew. That was faithful, that he could look back and say, God, you protected me here, here and there. No. But because he thought in his heart, and that was the beginning, those thoughts were not checked. Those thoughts were not being examined. Those thoughts did not go to the x-ray machine of the Word of God. And he says, no, the only refuge I can have
is making peace with the Philistines, the very people that I was called to fight against, the very people that I was called to push against. And the Bible says over here that this was his custom. So was his custom all the while he lived with the Philistines. In different words, as long as you live in the enemy's camp, this will be your story. As long as I live in my camp of despair, of making peace with whatever I'm making peace with, this is going to be my story, a story of covering up, killing, and destroying. The Bible says this, that the devil, the enemy, his mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. And David became part of the journey. He began to join the enemy's plan to steal. That's what he was doing, stealing. He was killing and destroying. And to the point that he was even lying to the king. It's almost like he was delusional. I'm not doing that. I'm totally doing something else. Because this is, king, this is your enemies as well. So I'm destroying them. But no, he was destroying those people that belonged to the king. Isn't it amazing that whenever when we make peace with the things that are not of God, we will begin to live in the Philistines' camp, doing things that we never thought we would do. And as a result, we'll begin to cover those tracks to preserve our life. David, what are you doing? What are you doing? God is the one that preserves you. God is the one that keeps you. God is the one that protects you. David, what are you doing? He did not go to the Lord, but he went to the Philistines. And now we know the next chapter. The Israel nation comes to the battle. Saul and his sons are being murdered. And now David finds himself being part of this camp that will go and fight against Israel. Can you imagine? David, you're part of that nation. But now because you are in their camp, you're willing to go and fight against the one that earlier you said, I'm not going to lift my hands against the anointed one. Whenever when he had every opportunity, he says, no, this is the anointed. I'm not going to lift my hands. But now he's willing to join the Philistines to go against the nation of Israel. Isn't it amazing that whenever when we find ourselves in the wrong camp, we're willing to do things that we would never do when we would walk with the Lord. We push the line so far that no longer we have the fear of God. We push the line so far that no longer we know what's right and what's wrong. And in a moment, I think it's the mercy is actually of God. I believe that. That the enemy is telling David, what are you doing here? I think you're going to trick us and you're going to start fighting against us. You're not going to be part of this battle. Why don't you go back home? Why don't you go home to where your family is, to where your wives are, to where your children are? Just go home. And this is the journey that David maybe is thinking, man, what am I doing in this land? What am I doing in this journey with the enemy going against my own people in the war? And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, you can read the whole chapter at home when you have a chance. The Bible says that David and his men, they were going back to their home. Maybe they were disappointed. Man, they did not take us to fight. But also he was thinking, what am I doing with my life? And from far off, the Bible says that they began to see the fire. They began to see the smoke. They began to see something very bad that was going on at their home. And they began to be afraid. They began to weep. And as they come in closer, and closer and closer, they're realizing that the city of Ziklag, that city that promised them protection, that city where he so-called tried to find self-preservation for his family, that very place where he found satisfaction for 1 year and 4 months, safety for 1 year and 4 months, the Bible says that everything was destroyed and fire was burning.
And everybody began to weep. David began to weep. His men began to weep to a point that the man wanted to kill David. To a point where they said, it's all your fault. You have brought us here. You have made peace. Because we're following you, we ended up here. We didn't want to be here. It was not our choice to be here. But we have trusted you because you had the call of God. God has called you to be the king. We have entrusted our lives into your hands, and now we end up in destruction. All of our belongings are gone. They're burned out. All of our wives and families and children are gone, and we don't even know where they are. David, it's all because of you. It's all because of you. And David again is filled with fear. David again is probably reminding himself, I was at this place 1 year and 4 months ago. 1 year and 4 months ago, I was dealing with uncertainty. I was dealing with fear. I was dealing with all of this anxiety in my life. I was dealing with depression. I was dealing with all the temptation that was coming against me. I'm talking about nowadays. But 1 year and 4 months ago, I gave in into the things that I was called to push against. I gave in into the very thing that God has called me to stay against, to stay away from. But because in a weak moment in my life, I made peace. I made peace with the bar. I made peace with the nightclub. I made peace with those things that God has freed me from. Because I was so afraid and I was in a low moment, I thought that I'm good for nothing. No, but in that moment, no longer David is going to the natural things. No longer David is running again against the to meet the Philistines and to ask them for help. But for the very first time, the Bible is recording that David went to the Lord. How long does it take you? How long are your journey is that you're battling with the things that you have made peace with, that you know that they're wrong? You're in the wrong camp. You're in the wrong place. How long is those moments in your life that you have made peace with those things? In the name of preserving yourself, in the name of preserving your family, in the name of preserving your marriage, you gave in into things that God has called me and you to fight against. Because whenever when we are fighting against those things, we will always be in a battle. And sometimes we don't want to be in a battle. Sometimes we get tired to be in a battle. Sometimes we get tired to hide. Sometimes we get tired to be in those places, hiding from Saul, so to speak. Sometimes we get tired to raise the standard as a husband again because you are the leader of the home. Sometimes we get tired of saying we're gonna do this because this is the right thing. But now, because I'm being nagged so much, because the situation comes against me so much, I'm just gonna give in and I'm gonna make peace with all of these things just for the sake of peace, just for the sake of preserving the marriage, preserving our family, not realizing that God has called me and you to raise up a standard, that God has called me and you to stand in His truth. And it's not my battle to fight, it's God's battle. It's not my job to preserve myself. It's God's job to preserve us. It's not my job to seek to preserve my life. But it's Him supernaturally. And that's what was going on. God was supernaturally keeping him alive for one day. Because David was not ready. God was not done with what he was doing. But in a moment of weakness, he gave up. He dropped back. But now the Bible says that he came to the Lord. And he began to weep till there was no more tears left. The very first time in almost 1.5 years, he comes back to the Lord God. What am I doing here? I made peace with the enemy. I made peace with the Philistines. In the name of preserving myself, losing the purpose that you have called me to. But today, I want to give you a call to leave those places where you have made peace with and follow the Lord. Going from self-preservation to the purpose of God in your life. Because God has a plan. God has a call. God has a purpose. And sometimes we think that this call is to be the next Billy Graham. Maybe. That would be amazing. But the Bible talks a lot about the call that He has for all believers to live a holy life.
to live a separated life from this world. He has called me and you to love Him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. He has called us to be separated from this world for His purposes. This is the call that He has for all of us as believers of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get so caught up about the call that it's only one thing, whatever what it is, and that can be true. But there is another call that is called for all believers, for all believers. What are some of the areas that you have made peace with? Oh, what's the point of getting married? Marriage is just an old thing. I love this girl and I'm just going to live with her. No, the Bible calls that a sin. Have you made peace with that? How long have you been in a relationship that is ungodly? How long have you been in places where you know the Bible calls it black and white, wrong and sin? But for the sake of love, for the sake of staying together, we're just going to make peace with the Philistines and we're going to live there. I'm telling you right now, whatever what you do, that it's outside of the Word of God in the name of preservation, in the name of preserving your family, ultimately you will lose it, because that's what happened in David's life. In the name of preserving his family, in the name of preserving his life, that's why he made peace with the enemy. But then when he came, Ziklag was in fire and his family was gone. David, what happened? You did all of these things in the name of preservation. And then as a result, all of those things are gone. It is God that preserves us, not our compromises. It is the Holy Spirit that leads us and empowers us to live for Him, not the things that we are willing to give in for the sake of just being in peace. So there is no more argument, so there is no more fighting. I'll just be okay with my kids doing whatever they want, just as long as I can be friends with them. No, God has called me and you as a parent to speak in season and out of season. Are you making peace with some of the things in your life for the sake of preservation? If you are, and they are against the Word of God, as a result, you will lose them. You will lose them according to the Word of God. But it's never too late. Isn't it amazing that God has a good news? Good news. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that in those moments, in 1.5 years, for the very first time, he cries out to the Lord, and the Bible says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. David strengthened himself in the Lord. And now for the very first time again, God is speaking to him in this 1.5 years. And he's saying, God, should I pursue my enemies? I thought you made peace with them. I thought you liked them. But now he's realizing that he made peace with actually destroyed his family. Whatever what he made peace with to preserve him, his marriage, his family, his friends, actually turned against him. And the Bible says, go in my mercy, because I still have a call upon you. Go, pursue the enemy, and I will give you back everything what the enemy has stolen from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not too late for whatever what you're going through. It's not too late to turn back to the Lord. It's not too late to be strengthened in the Lord, to be strengthened in prayer. It's not too late to cry out to the Lord. It's not too late, my brother, my sister. Even though you find yourself in the enemy's camp, making peace with the enemy, it's not too late to be delivered from them. Even though, as a result, now you're realizing your family might be falling apart, your children are away from the Lord, it's not too late to come to the Lord and weep before Him. It's not too late to hear a word from God that I am willing to bring all of those things that the enemy has stolen from you back into your home. I'm willing to restore your marriage. I'm willing to restore your family. I'm willing to bring your children back and laughter to be a portion of your life. I'm willing to do that. It's not too late. Turn to me. It's not too late. And isn't it amazing that after that, not long after that, God is fulfilling His promises. And David becomes king. David becomes a king. Oh, my brother, my sister, let all the things in your life work out for good. If you love the Lord and are called according to His purpose, every situation, every circumstance in your life, God can turn it for good. God can turn it for good. Because David has learned a lot. And David was a man after God's own heart, because I believe he knew. He knew one secret. He knew that he needs to repent. He knew that he needs a dependence upon the Lord. And because he knew that, God has covered him with mercy, with grace, and with his blessings. Psalm 91 says this: "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snares of the fowl and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his wings, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow of the flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 might fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the protection or the requirements of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to fall upon you. No plague come near your tent, your home. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." In a few ways? How many ways? Be confident. How many ways is going to protect us? In all of our ways. In all of our ways. "On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lions and the other, the young lion and the serpents. You will trample underfoot, because he holds fast to me in love. I will deliver him, says the Lord. I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will close my ears and turn away from him." Does it say that? No, it doesn't say that. When he calls to me, like David, he called to him. He says, "And I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." This can be our story this morning. This can be our testimony that God is faithful. God is faithful. My altar call is simple. What have you made peace with? You know that God is calling you to something greater. And you made peace with the circumstances for the sake of peace, because you're not worthy. And you've been living in those areas of your life. God is calling you out of there. God is calling you out of there. You don't belong in Ziklag. You don't belong in the enemy's camp. He's calling you out of there. Don't do things in your life that will lead you to compromise in the name of preserving yourself. The Bible says, "He who follows me, he must deny himself, pick up the cross, and follow me." It's a fully given life to him and for his purpose. To him and for his purpose. Don't do things in your life on your own strength, in fear, reacting under the title of preserving myself. Because ultimately, as we read in the story, you'll lose those things if it's leading away from God. But this morning, I want to invite you to come to these altars and weep. Maybe when is the last time we wept for our decisions that we have made and the things we have made peace with and gave in that are not of the Lord? And to say, "God, restore me. Restore me." And the Bible says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. And when he had strengthened himself in the Lord, he had a direction from him. God spoke to him. And he had direction in his life, what to do. And no longer the people wanted to stone him, but they began again to follow David because he became again that leader, that God always had a plan for him to be. In the good moments or in bad moments, to lead the way God would have him lead. Amen? Amen. Father, I've delivered this word. God, if there is something that I was not able to speak it clearly, I pray right now that you speak through the power of the Holy Spirit into the hearts of people. I pray, O Lord, that you would remind us today that we don't belong in the camp of the Philistines. Lord, you're calling us, and sometimes in your mercy, you'll bring things against us when we try to preserve our lives and ourselves and our own strength as a result of compromising. God, in your mercy, you will allow things to fall apart so you can get a hold of us again. Like David, in 1.5 years, again, he cried out to you. And he began to weep in repentance, and he was strengthened by your power and by your strength. God, I pray that if there is people in this room that secretly they have made peace with the Philistines, secretly they have made peace with the things that you have called us to fight against and push against, I pray in your mercy that you will speak to us today and that you would deliver us. God, as this deliverance came in David's life and he left that place, and not longer after that he became the king, he became the very thing that you have called him to be. He became the very thing that you have promised him that he will be. But he had to go through those moments of weakness, and you were teaching him how to depend upon you. God, I pray that you will strengthen your people today. I pray, oh God, that you will strengthen the marriages, our families, our children. I pray, oh God, that you'll forgive us in the moments when we gave in and we gave up because we just decided to make peace with things just for the sake of peace in our home, but ultimately destruction came into our families. Lord, forgive us. Because our decisions are not only affecting us personally, but it affects our families, it affects our marriages, our children, and our friends. But tonight, or today, I should say, God, we choose to come to you. We choose to come to you. And we're asking you to restore it. To restore it. In the name of Jesus, restore what the enemy has stolen. Restore the calling. Restore your promise. And I pray that you would lead us by your hand and you would deliver us from the fear. God, we turn to you in the name of Jesus. We turn to you. We want to leave this place filled with hope. We want to leave this place delivered in the name of Jesus. We turn to you and we're asking you now to do the supernatural. And as the psalmist says that when we cry out to you, you will deliver us from all of the things that we're going through in our life. And you will be our shelter, you will be our rock, you will be our foundation. I pray, O Lord, that let this be our testimony. Let this be our testimony. God Almighty, we refuse to make peace with loneliness. We refuse to make peace with depression. We refuse to make peace with alcohol. We refuse to make peace with sin. We refuse to make peace with immorality. We refuse to make peace with sexual confusion. We refuse to make peace with all of these things that are coming against us. In the name of Jesus, God Almighty, we trust you that you will protect us. We trust you that you will keep us safe. And we trust you that you will lead us by hand, and we will fulfill the call that you have upon our lives. Today, we're leaving the Philistines' camp and we're going back to you. We're leaving those places where we became so acquainted with, and we're running to you. Help us now. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand?